Good morning. I'm Sam Stokes, and let's talk about using IoT to explore the littoral space. The littoral space is that area between where the water breaks onto the shore to about 3 atmospheres or 100 feet. It's a loose kind of definition of littoral space. It could even be a park that may be impacted because of salt water in the water table and these kind of things. So imagine that you're able to not only gather information using sensors, not just phone pictures or talking to the phone, although that's an important component of IoT. In this case, and for the next few radio shows that I do, we're going to be using the Arduino Uno. Now, this is a very common device, and in my previous discussion, we did talk about some other devices like the TI Launchpad. Now, the TI Launchpads tend to be cheaper, they're much lower power, and they're designed with the thought that you're going to actually build beyond the prototype. The Uno is more associated with high school and college classes that are beginning to learn how to program and to work with sensors. Now, let's think a little bit about programming. If we're just doing CS, we often fall into the idea that social networks, products like Office or Google Docs, are where it's at. And these exist inside of the computer. What I'm going to be talking to you about in this video and the next few radio shows is how do we use our instruments to measure, to collect, and to share with others. Now, you may have heard terms like Azure, cloud, AWS. These are important words. These are how we share information. And these are also computer science solutions. But in the big world, there are a lot of other domains of knowledge. So we'll be looking at the littoral space. And if you live along the coast in the world, you can also participate. Now remember, when you go down to the ocean and you use electronics, things go bad, and they go bad quickly. So being able to find components or packages to store and hold your instruments like your Arduino are very, very important. Now, Brett Statham, who does a great blog, but his is very much land-bound, you can use boxes from the dollar store, or you can pick up baggies and put things in, and they'll be protected. The ocean is not a kind place. I've already damaged one Arduino Uno during the filming for the PowerPoints that are included with this radio show. So just be aware, and that's just sitting on the surface. This is not going below the surface. One of the things that we need to do when we're working with instruments that we take down to the ocean is we need to have a way to test to make sure they're still working before we use them and after we use them. Now, this is important. If we discover an instrument isn't working after we've done our tests, it may mean that we need to evaluate whether or not our test was done correctly. We're not going to worry about that right now. We may not worry about it in any of this radio show. But if you are going to work in the ocean, or you're going to work on space sensors, or even things that work on aircraft, it becomes quite a different process. Let's take a look at using Visual Studio to begin to set up our IoT for littoral spaces. You'll notice that I have perhaps another Visual Studio project open. So now I'm going to go over here to File, and I'm going to click on New, and I'm going to click on Sketch Project. Now, what I've done is I've gone to a site called Visual Micro, Visual, V-I-S-U-A-L, Micro, M-I-C-R-O. And this site creates an IDE similar to the Arduino IDE, but it operates in Visual Studio. I like this because, well, I'm used to Visual Studio, and this also allows me to use what's called IntelliSense, which helps me do my application. Now, to my knowledge, Visual Micro will only work in Pro or Community or Ultimate. Microsoft now gives Visual Studio to people, small companies of less than five people, and nonprofits to be able to use for no cost. So you should go and find out about the Visual Studio Community, which is free, and download the Visual Studio Pro or Visual Studio Ultimate. When you do that, it'll install on your system. Now, it's a big install, so you do need a lot of room. So for Christmas, you got a device with, let's say, 128 solid-state drive, maybe a Surface Pro with 4 gigabytes of RAM, and somebody else got you an Arduino Uno, then I would say you scored this Christmas. Very good job. All right, but if they didn't, and you have another machine that's kind of got a lot of stuff on it, or you're sharing with other users like your mom and dad or your wife or children, then you may have less room. So Visual Studio can take up to 8 or 9 gigs. Using Visual Micro, once I've installed it into my Visual Studio, I can then go to File, New, Sketch Project. So I'm going to click on Sketch Project, and I'm going to create a new Arduino Sketch Project. So I'm going to call this Dev Radio 11-24-2014B. And now what I want to do is I want to start this off. And you notice I have two solutions over here, A and B. This can be confusing. This is a project in my, I have one solution with two projects. Let's talk a little bit about what's going on over here in the Solution Explorer, because as you become a better programmer in practice, it takes a lot of practice. I've been doing this a very long time, and nobody considers me a good programmer. Well, okay, but some people do. All right. But it takes a long time to develop these skills, so start now, start young. That's very important. All right, now what I want to do is I'm going to remove this. Even though it says when I remove, it's a delete, that's a bit of a lie. So it's going to be removed, and it's still on file in my hard drive. Now I want you to also notice that it's dark. When there were two projects, the one that's dark or bold is the startup project. That's the one that will load into your Arduino. Very annoying until you realize that that's the case. Over here we have, with the Arduino, the two functions that the processing language uses. And then, so let's talk a little bit about the Arduino programming language. All right. The programming language used by Arduino is referred to as wiring. The language that it's a subset of is called processing. The language processing is a subset of another language called C++. So when I open this in Visual Studio, I see the small icon indicating plus, which is the icon for C++. If we look at the external dependencies, we see a lot of little files with a .h. These are called header files. We're not going to talk about them right now, but these are very important. And you'll notice that these, well, you may not know it, but I notice it, and that it's that these are the header files not only for C, but also for Arduino. So don't mess with the external dependencies for now. You can create your own header files here under header file. We're not going to create one. Resource files are used if you need to store things for localization. Localization is how you create programs that can work in multiple languages. Source files, normally you would see a file in here with C++, but with the Arduino, the file extension that we use is INO. Initially, and quite normally for me, because I've already busted up a Uno in the ocean, and one of the first things I did after I got it dried off is I ran this blink test. Now, the Blink test is a common test. It's very simple. And most Arduino type of boards have an LED attached to pin 13. Now, pin 13 is then placed into output mode. And then we write a high to it, and that turns on the LED. So we do a digital write, and this sets up a turn on condition. And then we digital write, and it sets up a off condition or low. Now, if I run this in Visual Studio, not much happens because it's not very exciting. Let's go ahead and connect, and we can see that it's uploading to the board. Down here, this is the output. This tells me very, very important things that should never be ignored if you get an error, because nothing's going to work anyway. So we can see that it's done uploading. When I look over at my board, I see that the board is flashing an LED once a second. Now, I want you to understand this is a very simple tool, and it's used quite often because things break. So this is the thing that this is. So in designing IoT stuff, you need to have a way to get back to where you have a known state. If you've gone all the way back to the Blink, then probably your system has some serious problems. But at least you know the board, the Arduino board, is functional, which means the processor's functional, the memory's functional, and the input and output is functional. Now, that seems silly, but in future IoT discussions, we'll talk about how you can load the Blink in there, and then using just a couple of button pushes, you'll be able to run it to kind of test your board. Okay, so that's our more boring application. Let's look at a little more exciting application. So using the Visual Studio IDE, this is referred to as an IDE, I'm going to press Control A, very similar to what you might have with Word, that kind of thing. So now I'm going to press V, and I'm going to paste in another set of code. Down here, this output no longer is meaningful to me, so I'm going to press on the Clear All. Next, let's take a look at the code and our Solution Explorer. Notice Solution Explorer has not changed. Let's scroll up. This has been around for a little while. This is was first created in 2008, so that's 6 years ago. And it's from the Arduino site, arduino.cc. And this is a very simple circuit to make. Once again, we have to build to, through simplicity, we can build complexity. If we start with complexity, we can't build simple things. So we have to go from simple, 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 simple. And then we'll pull them together, and it'll begin to make sense. But remember, we're working in a very harsh atmosphere, so we must be careful with what we do, or else we'll break things, and we could break expensive things. So it's not dangerous to you. Well, actually it is, come to think of it. So be careful around the ocean. All right, so a potentiometer is a resistor that can vary its resistance. So sometimes they're called variable resistors. The outside of the potentiometer, there's usually three pins. The outside of the potentiometer is the resistor, and then the slider is the center pin. So this creates a voltage divider. This is representative of the thermistor that you can use to measure water temperatures. Thermistors are a recognized way to measure ocean temperatures. There are two ways. Ocean temperatures can be measured by a thermistor, or the surface can be measured using a surface thermometer. We'll go into how to use one of those in a bit, in one of the later sessions, but the surface is just the surface. Below the surface is currents, and things change a lot. So with our potentiometer, connect the two ends, the outside pins, one to plus, one to ground. Doesn't make any difference which one you do. The middle one, connect to the analog pin 0, which will be clearly marked on your Arduino. Okay, let's take a look at the constants. Now, normally, normal people, normal programmers will capitalize entirely constants, but it appears that most of the Arduino programmers don't follow that practice. So you just have to remember that these are a constant. Now, A0 is clearly marked on your Uno board, and this is the output pin, which we're not using. This could be connected to an LED, which would then vary in light according to how much your voltage changes on the slider of the potentiometer. Your sensor value starts at 0, and your sensor output value starts at 0. Serial begin, 9600. This is a very low baud rate, but most of the information you're passing back to the computer through the serial port is not moving very fast. Keep in mind, and this is a difficult thing to do today, is that very high-speed processors require very specialized circuit boards. When you're using the Arduino board, the Arduino CPU is a lower CPU clock, as well as the launch pads. So the launch pads in the Arduino can allow you to actually manually create boards either using solder and wire, or you can go to Radio Shack or online and purchase some simple kits where you can actually lay the lines using some tape and copper and then solder to them. Now, I would recommend that you begin looking at those, because as we work on IoT sensors, these CPUs are very inexpensive relative to the cost of your measurements. Now, bear in mind, if you don't live right on the ocean, getting down to the ocean has an expense. Think about how expensive it is to get 2 miles out to sea to do these kind of measurements, or 100 miles out to sea, or 500 miles out to sea. That's a very expensive proposition. Now we're going to loop. So this runs once. The setup runs once. The loop runs multiple times. As long as the Arduino is turned on, the loop will run. So we have our sensor value, output value, analog write. This is what we're going to be looking at. And so now we're printing to our monitor, which is this piece right here. And so you'll see the word sensor space equals space. Now, leaving this space right in here is pretty important, and I often forget to do it, because this is the sensor value. Now, the sensor value will be between 0 and 1024. Your print now on the other side, this is a tab, slash T is read by the C code, underlying C code as a tab, and it tabs over and says output equals with the space at the end and the output value. Now, A to D, analog to digital converters, have a settle time. Now, they're saying 2 milliseconds. That seems a little long to me, but it's probably true for some of the Uno board, the Arduino Amtel chips, and we'll be talking about that in later videos, radio shows. So now I'm going to run my debugger. This is programming, sending this down the USB to the Uno board. And now it's uploading, and I see some flashing lights. It's done uploading, and I should see some things coming over here. Okay, why isn't it? Let's try, sometimes this happens when you have, there we go. So I had to hit the monitor, and now we see that it's 0, and the output's 0. That's just sad. So now let's take a look at our sensor, and we can see as I turn the potentiometer's knob, we can see that the number changes. As I decrease the resistance, I get more voltage. This makes sense if we think of Ohm's law, V equals IR. Now, reciting Ohm's law quite often will make you into an electrical engineer. Pocket protectors help as well. I'm an electrical engineer, I know. All right, so we can see that the sensor is at, so we'll move it down to 0, and our output's at 0. Now, the output that would be impacting the LED. If you want to hook up the LED, go ahead. So now we've actually created a sensor test that we set up and use to prove and understand what we're doing with the thermistor. Okay, let's take a quick look at the circuit that I used. And so this is the circuit. I have a Bluetooth hooked up to it, which I'm not using. And you can see that it's not very complicated. It's just three wires here, here, and here to a potentiometer over here. And then I turn this knob. Now, these often come in a starter kit, or you can buy them from places online like Amazon.com. They're starter kits. And or, you know, there's a lot of kits out there that you can buy. So if you didn't get the pot, these are referred to pot sometimes, and if you didn't get the potentiometer in a starter kit, then you can usually find them someplace else. So let's conclude. Today we did two very basic things in the Arduino world. We created a blink test, and we discussed why we would use the blink test in our littoral mode. Now, in the littoral mode of our IoT, we use the blink test, and we're going to talk about how to get the blink test semi-permanently installed in our Uno board so that we have a final test to make sure that our board's working and ready to operate in the littoral space. We also talked about how to use a sensor. We compared the sensor, the potentiometer sensor, to the thermistor. The thermistor is a recognized way to measure water temperatures, which is good. Over here, I have a thermistor, a fancy one, and I believe I showed this to you last week. One of the things I want to make clear is if you purchase one of these devices, you'll notice that it has heavily shielded cable. Don't cut the cable. In fact, don't shorten the length. You have to work with the length of cable that you got, because this, remember, this is resistance. Wires have resistance. So this has been calibrated for this exact length of wire. Now you notice the heavy shielding on the outside. The heavy shielding is so that emissions, like your phone or something, can't mess with this signal from this thermistor. And you also notice that it's threaded. We may be using this. I'm thinking we're going to have figure out some fancy way to be able to measure the water temperature right at the coast without having to actually put our Arduinos in the water, which doesn't work well for them. Now, normally a thermistor that you would have in a kit that you've modified or tortured like I have may look like this. It's kind of hard to see, but it's a little, has a little squiggly line on it. And notice it has bare wires and no calibration. Well, this is an issue, but the thermistor is very similar to this potentiometer. And let's take a look at the potentiometer. So I just removed it from my device. And you can see that there's three leads on the potentiometer. So these two outside leads, one went to 5-volt, one went to zero to ground, and in the center one went to the Arduino. Then you can turn this and see the sensor change. So these are simple things, but these are the three examples that you need to get working before we can actually go down and measure water temperatures with our sensor. Now, in our next radio show, we're going to actually go down and, using some simple tools, get some water out of the ocean and measure the temperature right there on site. Or we'll put our Arduino and sacrifice it to the god of oceans, Neptune, or Mommy, whatever you call it. So I hope today has helped you get started. I know there's a lot of get started sites for the Arduino, but this has also been a little different in that we used Visual Studio. And bear in mind, Visual Studio Pro is now free to regular users and companies with five people or less and nonprofits. So please go out and download the full version, get Visual Micro, the free version, or they would probably like it if you paid the $20 for it. And get started with your Arduino and set up these few kind of things and begin to think about, how do I measure water temperature? How do I measure water clarity? go and look at the aquarium equipment, and if nothing else, if you're not close to the ocean, at least we can start talking about measuring water quality, maybe on a farm that you live on, or maybe at that pond down in the park near where you live. So I hope this has helped you out, and thank you very much.